Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. This is the fourth message in this series on Sunday night entitled Another. Another. And, you know, we looked in the very first message was to exhort one another. And we talked about the importance of exhorting each other. And then we just kind of went through different aspects of what it means to exhort, went through different aspects of another. Tonight I want to preach on the subject, forgive one another. Forgive one another. Shall we stand as we read God's word together? We're in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 30 to 32. A dangerously familiar passage, often neglected in our life. Often neglected. Notice what the Bible says in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would just bless and open our eyes to the message that you have before us tonight. We need you, Lord. I know that there's no way that I could even begin to preach as you would. And I pray tonight that you'll please fill me and allow me, Lord, to be empowered by your power as I preach your word. Lord, we certainly need this tonight. We pray you'd guide us now in the moments we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Occasionally along the way, I meet people who are angry and bitter at everybody. Don't you just hate that? And there are just some people that you just meet along the way. I was visiting in the hospital last week, and I walked into the room of a lady, and I said, "How you doing?" "Don't ask," she says. And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "I'm part of the pastoral team here at David Grant, and I was just trying to talk to her a little bit because that's what I'm supposed to say." And I said, "I'm part of the pastoral team. I come here to try to encourage you." She said, "Nothing will encourage me more than to get out of here." That's what she said. And I said, so how they've been treating you? "Don't go there," she said. So everything I said, she was angry about everything. I didn't dare ask her about the food, Even the saintliest people complained about the food. But there are just some people like that, aren't they? They're angry and bitter at everybody and everything. I remember one day I was going down to Travis and stopped at Travis at Sunset to get some gas. I didn't know if I was going to make it home. I kind of pressed between fumes and gas, to try to get home. And so I was driving home. I stopped in there as I pulled in, I didn't realize there was another lady that was waiting and the spot emptied as I pulled in. You know what happened, right? So I pulled in, and man, the horns started blowing. And this lady her face was red. She was mad. She was yelling, screaming. She was calling me names I had to look up when I got home, all right? It was bad. It was bad, And what was even worse is when the spot did get, and I didn't realize it, I'm kind of like, what is she yelling about, But then I realized, oh, it's too late now. I already had the gas pump and it was going, And I realized, oh, I took her spot. And then she got the spot next to me on the other side. I thought, this is going to be really interesting. So I thought rather than letting her come to me, I was going to go to her. And I went over to her and said, "Ma'am, I'm really sorry. I don't want to talk about it." And she just let me have it, again. But Sometimes it happens like that. Like when you drive down the highway. You ever drive down, like going down 80, and maybe you're going along, and you know, you kind of turn, and you know, you don't really see anybody, and you just kind of cut over, and all of a sudden, meep, and you start getting a horn blown at you, and it was in your blind spot, and you didn't see that person. And you want to go, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, as they're giving you the sign language as they go by. Anyone ever had some experience like I'm talking about? Okay. You know, occasionally along the way, it seems like that we just offend people, we hurt people, we say things to people we shouldn't say, and you know, we do that and we don't even realize we're doing it. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't mean to take your parking spot here to get gas in your car. I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to cut you off in the road. You ever had any mornings when it, like, everything you do makes somebody mad? Anyone ever had days like that? I'm like, those are the days I want to go back and get in bed. And, you know, and then it seems like, then, you know, the kids are mad. Even the dog gets mad at you, you know? In this passage, God is showing us what forgiveness really looks like. He's helping us to understand that forgiveness is a part of what the Christian life is about. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He says, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. In other words, you like forgiveness when you're the one that's receiving it, but when you're the one that's got to give it, you don't like it. I know. I'm not even going to ask. I know. There have probably been times when you just don't want to forgive yet. Sometimes it's like that. We get like that. Sometimes my wife, bless her heart, she realizes it was something she did wrong, and she asked forgiveness right away. And I'm like, you didn't even give me a chance to be mean yet. Believe me, I have my moments when I already do that, but, you know. But it's so amazing how that when we read in this passage, how much different it is from the way the rest of the world lives. We are to live a life of forgiveness. That's what we are. We're forgivers. And here's the reason why. If anyone knows forgiveness, we should. Because we're forgiven people. We have been forgiven by God Almighty. And it's really sad when a Christian does not forgive. Because they don't understand the life of a Christian. That's what God says. It's biblical. I mean, Jesus came to die so we can be forgiven. That's it. And then when it says we're to forgive one another, I mean, that means fellow Christians, church members, family members, basically everybody. We're just to forgive. Some people have a hard time because they were reared in a family where it was a very strict family. Some of the men were talking on Friday night at the men's fellowship. By the way, the barbecue was absolutely phenomenal. I thought it was great. They surprised that barbecue chicken and tri-tip. Hey, let me tell you something. Ladies, you want all the pristine and you know, all the sweet decoration and everything. All guys want is food. We don't care. Put us in a concrete floor with no carpet, nothing. We'll eat and we're happy. Amen. Amen, brother. But Friday night, it's pouring down the rain. We had a pretty good group show up. You know, everybody comes, it's raining, it's pouring down the rain, but there's a lot of food there, man. We were sitting there eating. And the best, you know, and here we are eating, and then guys started talking about how they were reared. Boy, my grandma, she told me to go out and get a switch, and, you know, and she's telling us about hickory sticks. Anyone know what a hickory stick is, you know? Grandma, go out, go get a hickory stick, and you better bring one back that I can use on you, you know. Now, I was the kind, I would go out and I'd get something like really, really, really small. And Grandma, and my mom, she sent me out on that. My dad wasn't really much of that, you know, but my mom would. She'd say, you better bring back one big enough I can use it on you. So I'll bring one back that big, you know. And I know today that's unacceptable, and I understand that. But what I'm telling you is sometimes people get bitter about those things, bitter about their upbringing. They get angry about how things were. Things aren't like everybody else. And quite honestly, as believers, we need to forgive completely. I mean, if there's something in our past where we have been mistreated, and I know I'm probably talking to some people here who have been abused as a kid. I realize that. In a crowd this size, there's probably 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, could be even maybe it's 10, who was mistreated as a kid. And I'm not saying that that's an easy thing to do, but I do believe this. I do believe that God's grace allows us to understand forgiveness. And we can apply forgiveness to somebody else. But what's it look like? If we say we're forgiving people, what's it going to really look like in the world that's unforgiving and uncaring about forgiveness? What does that look like? Well, let me give you 3 snapshots of what it looks like. The first, we see it respects the Holy Spirit. That's what a believer does. A believer respects the Holy Spirit, and under that we have, he honors God's command and he appreciates God's work. Now let me get to it, and let's cut to the chase and get to what we're talking about here. Notice what the Bible says in verse 30. Now let the Bible speak for itself. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Bible says here that I am to respect and honor God's commands. That I'm to respect and honor God's will. And here's what God says. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we are unwilling to forgive. Parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, grandmas, friends, neighbors, people around us. God is grieved by that. The Holy Spirit is not pleased with that. Pastors who've been hurt sometimes will get bitter at church members and get angry at others. God says we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. In fact, to be honest with you, our conscience should bother us if we do dishonor and disregard the Holy Spirit. And so God says that really honoring him means that we respect God and we respect who he is. Because how many of you agree with me tonight? God is a forgiving God. How many agree with that? Amen? Isn't he? Man. You know, I mean, over and over, you read the Psalms. Just read through the Psalms. You hear about how he forgives and he's plenteous in mercy and all of that. I mean, all through, you know, as far as the east is from the west, so he remembers my sins no more and all those kind of things. I mean, over and over and over again. And if anyone has the right to be unforgiving, it would be God toward us. But God still forgives. He's merciful. So we honor God's commandments when God tells us these things. And so God says that really a forgiving person is one who respects the Holy Spirit. And by that, he honors his commands, but he appreciates the work of what the Holy Spirit is. Do you realize that every one of us here, the reason why, says the end of verse 30, is because we've been redeemed. That means we've been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. That means we're forgiven people. That means that God did everything he could to provide that for us. And every believer, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We're sealed. It's like, you know, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The devil wants to use his 666, but God the Holy Spirit says, here's mine, John 3:16. Boom. You're mine. I own you. Thank God that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgiven people. Every one of us, we're forgiven. And so if we're going to be forgiving people, we have to understand that with this forgiving comes the respecting of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit certainly deserves my respect. I'm to respect him for who he is. So, number one, we realize if we're going to look at the snapshot of what this looks like, number one, it says we're respecting the Holy Spirit. Let me give you the second one. It reveals our spiritual maturity. The second picture is that it reveals our spiritual maturity. And if you notice here, that involves a growing relationship with God. Here's something I learned a long time ago. I read this once and it stuck with me. I can't get it out of my mind. When God saved me, he saved me from the penalty of sin. Thank God that I am no longer in fear of hell. I am heaven bound. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ took care of all my sins. Amen. But I also learned that I still have sin in my life. That I still deal with it. I still have that. And so what I'm learning is that the work of the Holy Spirit in my life every day is delivering me from myself. Every day. God convicts me, shows me when I get carnal. It's really that carrying over the old man. And if I'm not growing, then the old man starts sneaking back into my life. Kind of sneaks in through a thought, maybe an attitude. Maybe it is through an unforgiving spirit. Maybe it's an old habit of mine. You see, when I stop growing, old habits start coming back. When I stop living for God, the old man just sort of kind of starts coming back. But I learned the old man's supposed to be dead, Ephesians 4 says. I'm supposed to put on the new man and let the old man die. But by not growing, I'm letting the old man come back to life. But growing believers understand that as a Christian, that a part of that growing process is that I'm learning that God is working inside me to begin to change my life and my relationship to other people. That's the second part of it. What happens on the inside begins to change what's going to be on the outside. And if you really want to know how spiritually mature you are, what is your relationship like to other people? That's what God. A mature believer will seek to ask God to give him victory over attitudes or actions that would adversely affect other people. Believers. Putting away the idea, he says here, put away the old man. All these are old man characteristics, he said in verse 31. Get rid of those things. Anger, evil speaking, malice, get rid of it all. Throw it out. Kind of like take it out and throw it in the trash can and let it be hauled off to the dump. Get rid of all that, he said. Because when we do, then everything in our life begins to start taking on really what the Christian life and the picture of forgiveness is. Because I got a lot of people that I could be upset with. I mean, all of you can think of probably 20, right? You can think of like a lot of people. You know, like the neighbor on the corner whose dog barks all night long when you're trying to sleep and sleeps all day when you're working. You know that? You know, or that parent that, you know, just irks the fire out of you. You know, or that guy that just grates the nerves, puts you on edge. I had a, we had, it seems like there's always one. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys know there's always one? In my neighborhood, we had one. It was Sandy. She was great my nerves, okay? She was a tomboy. She's the one that, I remember I told you the story about one time when I hit her. Because she hit me first and I hit her back. My mom killed me. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. You don't hit girls. Well, they hit me. Well, you don't hit them back. Well, she better not hit me again, you know. My mom said, shut up, you know, and so. There's always one. But later I got saved, and I still regret the day that I ever laid a hand on that young lady. Because forgiveness is what it's about. It's really sad when we can't forgive. Sometimes spouses don't forgive each other. Sometimes teenagers don't forgive their parents, and sometimes parents don't forgive the teenager. And it becomes apparent when you can see their relationship. How many families have I noticed? And here's the saddest part. When you do funerals, and you go to a funeral, and you have half the family sits on one side, half the family sits on the other, and they haven't spoken to each other in 30 years. Huh, what? At the death of a loved one, you can't even come together and talk? Really? Yes, really. But here's what God says. If you really want to see forgiving people, you'll see it in their spiritual maturity or lack of spiritual maturity. And God says for us, you know, the challenge I'm giving us on these one tonight, on these another series, one another series, is the fact that I'm challenging us to say, wait a minute, let's not live like the world. We don't need these gossip magazines in our homes feeding our carnality. We need the Bible feeding our spirit. You know what I'm saying? We need to have godly influences in our life so that we can have an understanding and grow and mature and not react like the rest of the world does. Because when that God is working in my life, my relationship to other people change. Now, I'm not saying we have to necessarily be best buds with somebody, perhaps if there's been something that's going on, but I am saying this, we need to learn in Christ to love each other, as the Bible says, and to forgive each other. There's one more picture, one more snapshot I want to give you, and that is releases the sin of others. Now, notice something interesting here. Here's a statement. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Now, that is an amazing statement. That's what forgiveness is. It's releasing the sin of somebody else. Sure, they wronged me. Sure, they did this, and sure, they did that. They stoned Stephen. That was wrong. They beat Paul. That was wrong. They put Joseph in jail. That was wrong. They hung Jesus on the cross. That was wrong. Saul was jealous of David and sought to kill David. That was wrong. We start going through the scriptures. Daniel put in the lion's den. That was wrong. That's government. Doing things when we look at it, and what the Bible says is really in verse 32, it says, be ye kind one to another. It doesn't sound too much like how the world treats us, but certainly ought to be the way God's people treat one another. Anne Lamott said this, not forgiving is like drinking rat poisoning and then waiting for the rat to die. You think on that one a little bit. Not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. The bottom line is this, I guess, it's really killing us. It's not hurting somebody else. Sometimes we think unforgiveness is hurting somebody else, but really we're dying inside. That's what she's saying. A lot of truth to that. And so what Jesus is saying here, and the Bible says in here, is that we're going to forgive one another. And by the way, that parking lot is God's parking lot. It's not your spot and his spot and her spot. It's God's parking lot. I heard of a lady one time that she had her pews marked out. And by the way, I don't mind you marking out your pews. In fact, if you don't, I'd get really nervous, like you guys did one Sunday night when I came in. You had shifted all around. I was really upset. I couldn't even preach that night hardly. But, you know, everybody marks a pew. It's kind of funny when people come in, they kind of pick a spot when they first get there, and we're creatures of habit. I go to a conference for a week, and I pick the spot the first time, and that's my spot for the rest of the week. And I'm going to dare somebody to take it, right? But I heard of a lady one time that she came in, and someone was sitting as long around, I guess, around here, maybe this spot or this spot. Not in our church, but it was in one of my friend's churches. And it was a lady, and we will say she's in her golden years. And so somebody had sat in her spot, and she came down, and it had been rainy that day. She came down with her umbrella, and she just hit the guy on the back of the head. Boom, boom. And said, "Excuse me, sir, you're in my spot." The strange thing is, he looked around, and there were plenty of spots. It wasn't as if that's the only spot. There were like a lot of spots. And she said, "Well, ma'am, I'll scoot over, or there's a spot right up there in front of me." And she said, "That is my spot. Get out." Funny. Is that how church people are supposed to act? Really? Is it any wonder why that we're not reaching more people with the gospel? Because by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. I mean, if we really act like we don't even care, we don't want to forgive. And I know. Here's what a lot of people say. They don't need to be forgiven. They don't deserve it. I didn't know we earned forgiveness. We're commanded to forgive. No matter what. I didn't earn God's forgiveness. He gave it to me by grace. So we're releasing the sin of others. And when I think about forgiveness and releasing the sin of others, I think about the fact that I'm going to release someone of the guilt of their wrong that they have done or supposed to have done in my life. And so what does that look like? Well, that means kindness toward others. But I don't want to be kind to somebody else. Here, Paul commands we're to be kind. The idea of kind means to be suitable, means to treat someone fitting. We're to be gracious and good. And he adds in another word in the same passage. You notice that? Tenderhearted. That means we have compassion behind it. Peter says this, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Notice the external treatment of believers reflect the willingness to forgive. How I treat others, and if I'm tenderhearted, and if I'm kind to others, I show others that I'm willing to forgive them. I don't doubt you've been wronged. If you've been in any kind of church for any length of time, you will have been wronged. There'll be someone or something will happen within the church and you will feel that you've been wronged. If every time that as a pastor I left and went to another church, I would probably be in a different church every other week. Because I'm wronged in some way or another.
It's something that somebody says. It's something somebody's done. It's something somebody says about me that's not true. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It can happen that way, and it can happen that way, it can happen that way. But Jesus taught where to forgive. In fact, here's what Jesus says. He says, forgive them 70 times how many? Now, that's, how many is that 70 times 7? Is that 490? Isn't that how I learned it? Okay. So does that mean that I'm going to forgive them 490 times? When I hit 490 first time, I can stop at that point? Is that really what it means? You know, somebody, okay, I got a record of everything. Okay. You know, I got a record of it all, man. You know, it's so fun. I read a cartoon where one dog was given, it was one of these cartoons, you know, where the dog saying this to another dog, said, we just want you to know that you have sinned 490 times and we're release of liability at this point from you. Okay. Is that what it means? Look, I'm going to tell you this. If we are forgiving people, we don't keep records. I don't keep records. I don't have any idea. I could begin to write it. I mean, if I did, it would be wrong. It wouldn't be forgiveness, right? I mean, am I going to write down, okay, 490 times. All right, I got the list, but you're supposed to be forgiving. Yeah, as far as east is from the west, I forgive. Yeah, but you got it written down. That's not forgiveness. That's adding it up, waiting until you get the moment. Really? Jesus said where to forgive. He says it's to be, and that means to be kind. Kind toward those who have done wrong to us. Colossians says it like this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forgiveness means I release someone from their guilt, from where they've done something wrong. Within notice here, it's exemplified by Christ on the cross. That's what the crosses are for. That shows real forgiveness. C.S. Lewis said this, to be a Christian, I didn't put it in there. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. That means we receive forgiveness from God because God's willing to forgive my inexcusable sin because of his inexhaustible grace. God's willing to do that. Just as God released us from our sin at his expense, we should be willing to release others of their sin too. Forgiveness is God's plan for believers. You say, where do you get that? In the Bible, it's all through. Let me give you one, and we'll close. I don't understand this, but Joseph. Joseph's story is one of forgiveness, really. That's the overarching story of his life. Joseph, in Genesis 37, was the 11th son of Jacob. And his favorite son. Remember, Joseph made him a coat of many colors. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if it was like one of the hippies from the 60s or what, you know? I have no idea. Kind of figured it like that. So he made a coat of many colors. And Joseph, in this coat of many colors, you know, I think Joseph, quite frankly, was a little bit cocky with it, you know? You read it, you know, he kind of wore it around the brothers, just to say, see? His brothers hated him. They were family, but they hated him. So they took and they sold him. They took the coat, they dipped it in blood, and they said he was eaten by an animal. Broke Jacob's heart. But remember that now he's taken, and let's forget what happens on the family side. Look at where Joseph goes. He goes down to Potiphar, right? Now, at this point, would you, if you were Joseph, would you be really heartbroken that your brothers turned the back on you like that? Some of you have had some very difficult family upbringing. This was a tough one. You can connect with this. So Joseph gets sold by his brothers who should have loved him, and they sold him to Potiphar, and they sold him for, you know, for money, which they probably went out and spent it. And then he goes down and he serves honorably there. And remember, he gets put in jail because he's falsely accused. Now, if there wasn't for bad luck, Joseph would have no luck at all, okay? It just seems like for him, everything went bad. So now he's in jail. He's in jail for about 13 years. Things transpire in those 13 years, and God takes him out, and he becomes the second man in the kingdom of Egypt, the second man under Pharaoh. A lot of stuff have happened. I'll just give it to you in brief. 17 years since he's seen his brothers. 17 years. Now they show up in Egypt because at this point, they're coming to feed at Joseph's hand. Remember, they come down, they were all upset because this dreamer is telling us we're going to serve him. Guess what? He does. And they go down, and here they are, they arrive, and Joseph, it would have been easy for him to say, "Don't feed them. They wrong me. Take their life." That's how some people would have handled it. But not Joseph. Honestly, I believe that in that prison for 13 years, he got alone with God. And he really got from God what he needed to be able to handle this situation. Now he dies, his dad dies. All the sons and everybody now are gathered here in front of Joseph, and they all think, uh-oh, it's curtains now. Here's what Joseph says. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 15. His brother also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Now, I don't know about if I were Joseph, I'd say, "Aha, told you. Let's read on. And Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and listen to this, and spake kindly unto them. That's forgiveness. That's a man that knows what forgiveness is. And I would say to you tonight, we need to understand this forgiveness. And not only that, but we need to forgive others. Are you going to be wrong? Yes. You're going to be hurt? Yes. I'm reminded of what Lester Olof said. I got to be done. I know I'm going a little longer than normal. Here's what Lester Olof said. When a man came to him and said some kind of cutting things to him, and he really was only kind of kidding with him, but he felt like it was wrong. He went to him the next morning and said, "I'm so sorry. Brother Roloff, I didn't mean anything bad." And some of you don't know who Lester Roloff is. He was a really great preacher in the 80s. Did some pretty amazing things. And had voice homes in Texas. That preacher went to him and said, "Brother Roloff, I ask you to please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said those things. I think I was only kidding, but it came across that when God spoke to my heart about it." And here's what he said. He said, "Brother, you can't hurt a dead man." And what he was saying is this: I already died. my flesh died. That was a mature, godly man. That's maturity. And tonight, every one of us, we've had forgiveness. And here's what God says. Just as we have been forgiven, so should you forgive others. And living a life of forgiveness is the Christian life, pictured form, and showing others what forgiveness is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.